One of the biggest lies straight from Satan is a little riddle or thing that you and I heard as kids. Say it with me. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is the biggest lie, one of the biggest lies Satan has ever put out. Do you agree? Amen. Words are so, so powerful, and for good or for evil. And we often think that, and you'll get a time to discuss this, that evil speaking is things that, this cursing, that kind of stuff, but we do a ton of evil speaking ourselves, don't we? When we speak contrary to what God says, that's evil speaking, right? We do it all the time. So I pray that God will help you. The power of your words. Today we're going to look at a topic I've entitled Speak to the Wall. Speak to your wall. And we're going to the story in Joshua. And I am convinced, by the way, that what we believe and then what we speak has all to do with what we receive and experience. Now, I want to repeat that. I'm convinced that what we believe and then what we speak has all to do with what we receive and what we experience. I hope that you'll agree with that statement as we go throughout this series. Kind of a foundational passage is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I want us to see this. This would be a good life verse, by the way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this. There is so much here. His divine power has given us all things. Would you say all things?
All things.
What is your need? Does that fit all things? Has given us all things. Has given us. It doesn't say is in the process of giving. Now that's important. That pertain to life. Oh my goodness. And even our godliness, in other words, how we live out this life, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Would you agree that this verse is pointing to the finished work of the cross? I think so. Look at verse 4. I didn't have this verse in there till this little bit ago, and I decided I need to put this in. By which have been given, look at it again, have been, not is in the process, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We'll probably come back to these verses again in this series, but I just wanted that to be. Do you see any negativity in these verses? Do you see any bad news in these verses? No, thank you. All right. Is there any bad news in the good news of Jesus Christ? How many times have I heard preachers, they would preach a hardcore message about what you need to straighten up, what you need to stop, and they claim that that was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. When they're ministering death to those because they're hammering them on the head with the Ten Commandments and so forth. But the ultimate question, why do we speak bad things about ourselves? Just a thought. You don't have to answer. We see physical problems and disease. We just accept it in our minds and speak what the doctor says. We speak how we feel. And we talked a little bit about this before Christmas, about how the psalmist in Psalm 42, he acknowledged he spoke where he was, but he didn't stay there. He immediately switched and said, but my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel sick, but I know I'm healed through Jesus Christ. I don't understand why I'm not experiencing it, but that's not gonna stop me from keep believing and receiving. And that's just one example. There's financial issues, there's all kind of wall problems, but when we have a wall that comes up in our life, have you ever noticed what we do with that wall? Instead of running and seeing what God says about this wall, we start analyzing the wall, right? We size it up. We say, well, this wall is 50 feet tall. This wall is 25 feet thick. This wall is so huge, and we describe it. And we keep talking about it. We keep telling our neighbors. We keep telling everybody how bad we've got it. And folks, that is not speaking life. That is not speaking to that wall as God speaks to that wall. And I'm telling you, it's hindering us from receiving. Now, this is not to put anybody under guilt and condemnation. I've been speaking life to my back. I'll share a little bit later. And it isn't totally, I'm not totally experiencing God's healing. Jerry, thank you for that prayer that aligned with what God says. We are totally healed whether we feel it or not. And this is what this message is about. And I pray that God will help our words begin to change. And there's so many angles of this. How we speak to our kids, how we pray, how we speak to ourselves, and so forth. But we tell everybody and our brother, instead of saying, God, this wall is nothing to you. Let's align ourselves and speak what God says about the wall. Okay, in Joshua 6, Moses had died. Joshua was called to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. And of course, Jericho was the first city that they were to take. There's just one problem. It was surrounded by a huge wall. Let's see how God deals with this issue. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, now here's is such a key point. When you have a wall pop up, what does God say about that wall? That should be your goal, is go see what does God say about this health problem, about this financial issue, about this relational issue, about whatever it is that's bothering you. Go and find what God says about that wall. Look at what God says about this particular wall. He said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. Now stop here. The first thing that you need to do is to look at the wall and then say, God, what did you say? So this is going to come back to help Joshua, you see, just a little later. That wall, he says, I've already given you this city. That wall was still there. They had not experienced the benefits of that city yet. Issue of healing. I'm healed, and by his stripes I've been healed, and we're looking at another verse today talking about healing, because that's such a big issue with us. And some of us still are praying the prayer, well, if it's your will, I'll be healed. That's the wrong prayer. You need to say, God, thank you that I'm healed. I'm still hurting, Lord. Just get real with him. He's okay with that, but don't stay there. Keep receiving, keep telling yourselves, and align your words, what comes out of your mouth, to what God says. And that's so important here, and that's basically what Joshua was going to do. But he said, I'm giving you Jericho. I have given you Jericho, past tense. We go into doubt, but Lord, it's such a big wall. I just don't see how a little group of us can tear down a wall like that, can even open the gate. How can we begin? See the doubt that crops in when we don't see it immediately happen? They hadn't seen the wall come down yet. But you see, God was telling them in advance what was about to happen. Just as you've begun to see, now listen, just as you have begun to see that your sins, past, present, and future, you ain't even committed that sin tomorrow, but many of you already have a handle that sin has already been forgiven and removed and taken from us, because you are believing what God has said in Hebrews 10:17. I will remember your sins no more. In Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, he says, I remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. You have begun to believe and speak. When you sin tomorrow, many of you are not saying, oh Lord, I'm so sorry I did this. Please forgive me. And you're not doing that. You're speaking in alignment with what God says. 1 John talks about if you have sinned, you have an advocate with the Father. It didn't say go and confess and plead for forgiveness. It says speak what God or Christ has done on the cross. So you're speaking and saying, Lord, I clearly blew it here, but I'm thanking you that my fellowship, my righteousness with you, everything is still intact because you've already dealt with the sin issue. Now take that same mentality and begin to speak to the physical things that we know Scripture has something to say about. Whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whatever it is, begin to speak what God speaks. And it's so important to speak it in a way that is already past tense, it's done. You begin to speak the problems away, you see. Now, it doesn't happen. The problem is we'll speak it for a week, we'll speak it for a month, we might speak it for a year, And we still hadn't seen it come to pass yet, but we'll give up and say, well, I guess that old teaching, that Preacher Carlton and Joseph Prince and some of them others are teaching, is just not right. So we revert back to, well, I guess this is just as good as it gets, and we give up. We lose hope, and I'm telling you, that's a mistake. Okay? All right, the fact here is, God said in Peter, he said, I have given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. The fact for Joshua was, God said, I have given you this city. That gave Joshua power to just follow through now and do what God says. So let's move on. Verses 3 and 4. He said, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. But Lord, why would you ask me to do such a thing? Would what y'all have done? Okay, I'm the murmuring one. Y'all don't do that. Okay. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each and carry a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horn. Now, here you'll see the horn mentioned. And I didn't have time to study this. Maybe some of you will come back later or you can share during the discussion time. A few things we looked about, talking about the horn or the trumpet. It announces what God is up to or he's in the process of doing. In some scripture, we see that the horn was always sounded at Mount Sinai when the creator of the universe gave the Ten Commandments. It was a big day. We thought it was to live by, but it wasn't. It was to bring us to the end of ourselves. Okay? That's another topic. Okay? The horn was sounded on the weekly Sabbath, the Feast of the Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, on the day of the new moon. It was sounded when there was a victory in a warfare. It was sounded when King David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And of course, in this particular story, the trumpet is sounded and in conjunction with God taking down the wall. So it's basically sounding forth, speaking out, hey, out loud, something is God is up to and is about to do. Okay? Now with that in mind, let's move on to verse 5. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Lord. Now, that ain't what it said, is it? It says, shout it out, right? Speak it out. There's something about speaking out loud, not just to yourselves, but speak it out loud to yourself, and then maybe sometimes others get the benefit of hearing it, and they're going to say you're crazy when you speak that I'm healed and I'm hurting like a Dickens. Not everybody's going to agree with you, and they're going to say, he's one of them, okay? You know what? If it's going to help me receive that benefit quicker, I don't care what they think, and that's where you need to come to, don't you think? Okay, speak out loud as you can, then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. Once again, Joshua spoke out loud to the people, telling them, here's how it's going to happen. So when you're seeing lack, speak out loud that I have everything that pertains to life and godliness. I love that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, you have everything you need. Oh, wow. I don't see it, Lord, but I have everything I need. You see? When you see a disease or an illness, speak out loud, by his stripes I am healed. By the way, I encourage you to look up that word healed in the Greek, and you study that word wherever else it is used, and it's mostly used in the context of physical healing. It's not about spiritual healing. Well, I'm healed, yeah, because I'm going to heaven. No. My back example, I'll just give you a quick update. You know the story. If you don't, basically back in November, I started experiencing severe pain, none like I've ever experienced before. I was in the emergency room 3 times because the doctors were closed and they were giving me pain pills and then they'd up it and then they'd up it, and finally I began to get relief and so forth. And I've been speaking what I'm talking about now. I've been speaking truth. I've been saying, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. By your infirmities I've been made whole. And I've been speaking it, but I was hurting so bad. You say, preacher, well, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be going to the doctor. You'd be waiting on God to do it. Hey, let me give you a practical word. When you're hurting and things are happening, unless God is telling you not to go to the doctor, just keep going until you see it manifest. But I still kept claiming what I'm telling you today. And I'm walking around. I'm not 100% there, but it is so close. And I'm going to keep speaking it, and I'm going to keep saying what God, and I'm going to experience it 100%. Amen. I am. I'm just am. I don't know when, but I'm just going to tell you. And that's what I'm seeing happen in my own life. So I think God might have let me go through that just to help prepare me for the day. I don't know that, okay? I don't want to go through that again, though, Lord. But anyway, where was I at? But preacher, when you speak 100% whole, 100% finances are good, and I have all that I need that pertain to life and godliness, it's just not true. Because that's not what is in the bank that I can physically, tangibly put my hands on. Right. What do you do with that? You see, you've got to begin to see as God sees. An example. God told Abraham, he said, you are the father of many nations. How many years did he have to wait? But that didn't change God's perspective. We see the little chronological timetable where God sees the eternity past, eternity future, all in one setting. And he wants us to align ourselves away from this chronological time thinking to way over here. You see? God is not bound by time, however we are, if we choose to be. God has given us a mechanism, in my opinion, so that we can begin to experience now what we think is future that Jesus died 2,000 years ago to give us right now. Don't ask me to repeat that. Get the tape. All right. Let's look at a powerful verse. Proverbs 18:21. Look at this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. I encourage you to meditate on that this week. God's still working with me on what this means. But we can speak death to our situation and others in our family, or we can speak life to that adversity. There's power in your words. Begin to align your words with what God says and speak it out loud. Let's continue the story. Verse 6. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. Let's continue on in verse 8. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. Speaking, basically. The Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. Now notice here, the walls didn't fall overnight. What were they doing in the meantime? They were proclaiming with their trumpets that these walls are going down. Wow. Keep speaking to your wall. Keep speaking to your wall. Jesus, next week, we're going to be looking at where Jesus said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say speak to him about the mountain. He said, speak to the problem. We're not used to that from my background. Most of the things I've learned in my background has been wrong, and this is no exception, okay? Wow. But many are speaking to the wall, and they're losing hope because they haven't seen it happen yet. Well, I've been praying, Lord, if it's your will. That's the wrong prayer. Amen. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Just speaking about healing, because that's, like I say, that's a huge one for us. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. By the way, the verse before that, verse 16, states that Jesus cast out demons and healed all who were brought to him. You never see him saying, well, I'm going to heal this one and not that one. Well, that's what I see happening in my life. Some people experience healing, some don't. I can't answer the question for that. All I know is what God has said to me. I'm not responsible for claiming what you want to claim. I'm responsible for what I'm going to claim. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father thinks about you? Look at Jesus. Jesus didn't heal part of the people he saw. He healed them all if they were willing to receive it. Okay? So start claiming that, man. All right. Verse 10 and 11. Jump down to 10. Do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest again carried the ark of the Lord. Verse 13 through 15. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priest with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. What's the significance of 7 times? This could be part of it. Seven is the number of completion, right? To me, once again, it's pointing back to the finished work of the cross. Well, say, preacher, this was before the cross. I know, but God's not limited by time. You see, back then, he was pointing forward to the finished work of the cross. And by the way, God had said that wall was coming down and they were going in. It's just as good as done. You say, but preacher, I just got to see it. Well, bless your heart. You're not going to see it as quick sometimes with that mentality. Begin to see it in advance. Thank God out loud with your words what he is doing and has done. You see? It's so important for to know what Jesus has already accomplished for us. That's why I say often that this church is about growing in grace and teaching the finished work of the cross, because it's infinite. It's infinite. Our responsibility is to know what it is, believe it, and speak it out loud. Can y'all handle that? Just know what it is, believe it, speak it. Well, I can't speak it till I see it. Yes, you can. Open your mouth. Okay, verse 16. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town." I love it. Jump down to verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into town and captured it. What wall is staring you down today? Can I encourage you to begin to speak to that wall? Speak the way God speaks to that wall, as if it's already been dealt with. In the meantime, keep trusting, keep believing, keep speaking. It's really that simple, but we want to complicate it, don't we? Keep believing and speaking the way God speaks. Once again, what is the wall? Go to Scripture, find out what does God say about that wall, and then just believe it, and then begin to speak it. And trust the rest into God's hands. A few discussion questions. In Psalm 34, verse 13, it states, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." Give some examples of evil speech, and I'll give you a hint here. Once again, don't just look at some vulgar language and cursing that you hear somebody at the work speaking. I want you to think about yourself. Anything that's evil speaking is speaking contrary to what God says about the situation. Do we speak evil all the time? Ooh, this old boy does. God's helping me, okay? Proverbs 23:7, one of my favorite verses. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What does this mean, and how does it tie to Psalm 34:13? And then give some examples of your words, not your wife's words in front of her, please. Give some examples of your own words that maybe need to change. That's called repentance, by the way, isn't it? Changing our minds. It's time to quit doing that, okay? All right, I'll be back. All right, Psalm 34:13 states, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." Give some examples of evil speech.
So this is kind of a funny topic for me. I listen to Dr. Jerry Savelle a lot. Anybody familiar with him? Jerry Savelle? Okay. Well, him and his wife, he's a pastor, actually from Vicksburg, Mississippi. But he's pretty big now. But anyway, him and his wife were practicing on speaking life, you know. And I remember in particular there was this one story that he told. He said he came in one day and he said, "Good Lord, I'm sick as a dog." And their agreement that they made was that anything that negative that one or the other says, the other one is going to set themselves in agreement with it, and it's going to come to pass. And because they're practicing on not saying negative things, so he comes and he says, "Good Lord, I'm sick as a dog." And she says, "Okay, you spoke it. You said you're sick as a dog. I set myself in agreement with it, and we look for it to come to pass." And as soon as he heard her say that, he was like, wait a minute. "I break the power of them words, and I pull them down in the name of Jesus." So that was a little exercise. You know, it was hilarious. It was a little exercise that they often used until they got to the point to where they were, you know, mindful of the things that they were speaking. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
Someone else?
I was just going to tell a small story about how powerful words can be. There was a point in my life where I was struggling with an issue from my past, and I had gone through some Bible study, and part of it was talking about forgiveness. And we know that God forgives us, and I knew that God had forgiven me. The problem was I had not forgiven myself, and that was just a huge issue for me. And one day, I decided that this is it. I've got to forgive myself. And I stood in my bathroom, and I looked in that mirror, and I looked at myself in that mirror, and I said, "Beth, I forgive you." And the verbal words coming out of my mouth started a snowball of healing in my life that I've never experienced since then. But it was, I actually had to say it out loud. I had said it in my mind for many years, but I actually had to say it. I actually had to hear the words. I had to look at myself in the mirror. And I have discovered that works well for forgiving other people too. It's okay for me to think that I forgive someone for something, but if I actually say it out loud, it's amazing how the process starts from there. So if saying those words out loud, there's something to it.
Amen. That's right. I don't know why God set it up like that, even about benefiting from what Christ has done on the cross. Romans 10:9, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, is something about speaking it out loud. All right.
You know, as a man thinks his heart, so is he. And it's interesting when Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and a evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. And then really he's making the only distinction he made between those two men is what they're storing in their heart. And you think about, what are you storing? The news? Anybody hear any good stories from the news this week? Politics. I have yet to see a positive political debate. You know, so we're storing all these negative things. As Beth said, what if I'm not forgiving myself? I'm storing that anger towards myself in my heart. And there's a passage in 2 Corinthians that really came to mind when I saw that. As was the Paul said, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. And we also believe, therefore we speak." And you think about that, this magnitude of that passage. What is I've stored in my heart is what my foundation of faith is going to be in. And that's what I'm going to speak. Am I going to speak, "I'm so stupid," or "the world is going to hell in a handbasket"? Or am I going to look at what God has declared and say, "You know what, the world doesn't have to be right for me to be blessed. I stand upon what God has declared."
Amen.
The world condemns me. Friends or families, you know, get down on us, or at work. Well, I still believe, therefore I speak. What I'm storing in my heart is what I'm believing. Amen. And am I getting it from the knowledge of Christ or the knowledge of the world?
Wow. Powerful.
One more thing real quick that is so about how important words are. I can think in my mind, Carlton, that was an excellent sermon. Or I can say to you, Carlton, that was an excellent sermon. Who's going to benefit more from my thoughts or my words? You're not going to benefit from my thoughts. You're going to benefit from my words.
Right. Wow. Good. Dang, I need to quieten up more. Y'all preaching better than I am. There you go.
It just came to me the scripture that Paul, this is paraphrased, where he said he determined to know no man but Christ and him crucified. So what does that signify? The finished work of the cross. He said, I'm not going to know anything but Christ and the finished work of the cross.
Wow.
Period. That's the only thing. No arguments, no vain discussions but Christ and the finished work of the cross.
Good.
Okay, so I wanted to mention this as well. If you remember in the beginning, in Genesis, when you're reading that during the creations, you constantly see God spoke, God spoke, God spoke. And when he was speaking everything into existence, you really are able to see the power of words. And when you recognize that we are co-creators with God, that's how we create. We create with our words. So you'll notice that anything that you speak, you will begin to see it. Even a person who's always going through a negative situation, look at how that person constantly talks. And you'll see that when they talk negative, they're always surrounded by negative things. So I think that was pretty cool to see that, you know, we are co-creators, and that's how we create, through what we speak.
A lot of times it may not be what we say, but how we say it that affects people the most in your words.